Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Genesis. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Customs and Border Protection. It might be a law enforcement agency dealing with a difficult border situation, but it also has customers. So improving customer experience, as called for in the Biden administration's management agenda, matters at CBP. For an update, I spoke with the agency's Executive Director for Planning, Program Analysis, and Evaluation, Jody Harden.
So CBP, we are a law enforcement agency. We do have a very unique view, I think, on customer experience. Due to that nature of our mission, we have unique challenges on how we have to balance the ability to identify people who are in violation of laws and still be able to streamline trade and travel for legitimate trade and travelers that we have out there. At the same time, I think the majority of the traveling public is identified by us as being compliant with the regulations. So we really have that, you know, in our first and foremost, in our mindset, as we're looking to streamline our operations, to be able to quickly identify people that we do need to interact with and let everybody else go through as quickly as possible.
And it's fair to say that over the years, you have done a lot to speed up that whole aspect of the traveling life when people return to the United States and need to go through customs. That's your agents, correct, that make sure that people have nothing to declare or et cetera, et cetera. That's speeded up by double digits percentages, hasn't it?
Yes. And we've had a lot of changes in how we view things. And that's one of the things, because we interact so closely with stakeholders in the trade and travel industry, we look for ways that we can leverage best practices that they've established and how we can incorporate those into how we look for services that we can provide to better get throughput and, you know, change the experience of how we're interacting with passengers and our trade community. So one of those things I think that has always been first and foremost in our minds is getting that feedback from them and looking at how we can incorporate their business models to marry up with our business models and look for ways that we, you know, can partner with them essentially to get all of the feedback that we need in order to find ways that we can streamline our operations.
Well, explain how that might work. Give me an example. Say, I mean, it's the airline industry primarily, but also the cruise industry. People forget about that one from time to time. And you've got lots of people going through very small doors all at once. And so is that the type of thing that you look at, and maybe give us some examples of where you've found some best practices out there?
Sure. I think that our best example is probably with our biometric entry exit program. As we were, you know, looking to develop ways that we could get identification, we did have a congressional mandate to be able to biometrically confirm the identity of travelers that are coming through. And, you know, being able to do that in a way that wasn't going to slow down operations, because the initial rollout that took place in 2004 was having us to get this entire community essentially enrolled for non-citizens. We had to start taking fingerprints in 2004 of all the travelers coming in. This was an added process, and we worked very closely on how we could streamline this process and essentially ran into obstacles in our exit mission because we didn't have that infrastructure to be able to capture fingerprints on everybody departing the U.S. So working again with industry, looking at their business process, how people exit the country, how are we going to be able to get this done? We turned, you know, and did research and technology and everything, and found that the facial comparison technology actually was the best way to do this, to be able to match to holdings that we already had. We had captured information on these people as they came in, and just being able to do a quick match of their face to the documents that they're presenting and incorporating that with the airline industry's process of having to onboard passengers and show boarding passes and everything, we were able to create a very good streamlined process for our exit mission.
Well, then what's the next round here for customer experience? Because having been through that, it's, you know, the last couple of times of international travel, having a very old idea of what it was like, I was still shocked at how fast it does go and how smoothly it does go.
Yeah, I think what we've done is essentially take those best practices and working with industry and tried to incorporate into other areas. So I would say the next kind of biggest area that we looked at was just all of the areas that we do administrative kind of paper collection or data collection from people. We went out and tried to find the way to streamline that. And what we ended up coming up with was the concept for our CBP1 application, which is essentially taking all of the kind of mobile services and eventually desktop services. We will be incorporating this into like a one platform where the public can go. And in any area that they have to interact with us to provide data or information, we looked at how we could do that to gather information in advance. And this did end up one of the capabilities in CBP1 is what we're highlighting as part of our customer experience executive order as a high impact service provider.
And I wanted to ask you in relation to that, the Global Entry Program, because that is an online application and it goes back some years now, and it's actually works pretty well, and renewal does not require someone to be in person. What have you learned with respect to just digital applications like that through that program, and what do you look at in the future for that type of interaction?
We are looking at incorporating that ability, you know, to do the application process in that mobile format. It will end up eventually being under part of CBP1. And we were able to leverage some of the technologies that we had developed in the CBP1 application to be able to do remote interviews for global entry applicants. So we are looking at continuously at that program on how we can leverage the technologies as we, develop them out to improve that process as well.
Because you do have some constraints. This is not like shopping online or that type of thing. There are statutory and real national security implications to each and every one of those transactions. So I imagine that must make it more difficult to go down that CX journey.
It's definitely a challenge that we work with. First and foremost, we're always concerned about the privacy of everybody that we interact with. And cybersecurity is a very real concern that we constantly have to be vigilant of to ensure that we can secure all of the information that we capture as a government agency. We do work with a privacy by design concept as we're doing any of our new applications. And we have privacy impact assessments and various types of assessments that are posted online so that, you know, we're very transparent about what we're doing as we develop new technology so that the public is aware that we're, you know, being very careful with their information, the specific use cases that we're using it for, and, you know, making sure that we stay within that. We are bound by law to only utilize these technologies as you know, directed on, you know, the use cases that we have there.
And I wonder if in also collaborate, when you say you collaborate with industry a lot, what about some of the other federal agencies that have related or side-by-side or orthogonal types of processes? I'm thinking of Transportation Security Administration right there under the DHS umbrella, but State Department, maybe even FBI.
Yeah, we do interact with all of our federal partners, particularly where we have that shared space of doing kind of some of the same mission sets. We are also, again, restricted a bit by the authorities of each of the agencies that we work with. So we are very cognizant and careful of that. You know, where we can do data sharing and where we can look at how these technologies can be leveraged is that's probably the biggest limiter, like technology. It, you know, as we see in everyday life, can do anything. But again, we have to look at those legal authorities, the privacy, you know, the cybersecurity, and make sure that we're keeping within, you know, our areas so that we're keeping all that information safe.
Yes, because data sharing is a big part of this. If someone submits their biometrics, they could be on someone else's list or something like that, say a no-fly list, whatever the case might be. So I imagine there has to be some data sharing, again, under those statutory requirements, because sometimes it's prohibited certain data sharings that agencies feel they could use.
Yes, we do have, I mean, when it comes to biometrics and data sharing, there are regulatory offices at the DHS level that kind of have oversight of how we interact with that as well. Again, I think across DHS, we do have more, you know, because we are under that same umbrella, we are able to do more data sharing in certain circumstances. But it's also, again, restricted by sometimes that need to know and the legal authorities of the specific agency that's looking to get the information.
And is that also true of data retention? Because in the customer experience world, I remember when the government had trouble legally being able to take and use cookies to be able to help people when they came back to an agency. I think they got past that one. But in, you know, again, in the commercial sector, there's a lot of data retention about prior activities, to use the shopping example or whatever it might be. To what extent does data retention for later use in by the same individual figure into your CX efforts?
A lot of that is already outlined and kind of defined by the systems that we've had in place for many years. I do think that, you know, as we look at the data retention, we're looking at new capture of data. And a lot of that is not, a lot of the data that we're getting through this process is not new data. It's stuff that we've been collecting, you know, for a very, very long time. We've just taken it from the paper format to the electronic format. And one of the things, like say with CBP1, is that it serves as that portal. So it's getting the information taken in, it goes and it's housed in whatever system it was always housed in. We just no longer have to manually enter that data, which is where we get most of the time savings that we see, is that typing and manually entering of this data that we used to capture. And also we can streamline the better that data is because it allows us to sort of sort through things and look at what we need to help better identify what we need to delve into. So that data integrity, we spend a lot less time kind of fixing data errors than we've had to in the past because the technology has allowed for capture of data in a manner that we're not getting the error rates that you would with, you know, me typing and my terrible typing skills.
Jody Harden, Executive Director for Planning, Program Analysis, and Evaluation at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Tamman.
Put your citizens at the center of government services with Genesys, the global provider of modern customer and employee experience solutions. With Genesys technology, government agencies at all levels deliver citizen-centric support that ensures constituents are remembered, heard, and understood every time they connect with you. Deliver on the promise of a digital government with Genesys. To learn more, including FedRAMP solutions, visit genesys.com/government. That's GENESYS.com/government.
Welcome back to our interview with Jody Harden, the Executive Director for Planning, Program Analysis, and Evaluation at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Our topic is customer experience and how to improve it. And we've been talking primarily about individuals interacting with the system, traveling and so forth. And you did mention cargo, and that's
Yes.
been a long-standing challenge, I think probably for 40 years, to constantly speed up and streamline that whole issue of cargo admittance. And probably there was a setback after 9/11 because suddenly nothing was really trustable anymore in that world that emerged. So what's going on with respect to cargo, understanding the bills of lading that are coming in and the containers and so forth? Very specialized but huge process and a lot of effect on commerce, on the economy and national security all roll up into one. What are you looking forward as you improve that whole experience for shippers and recipients of shipping?
So I think some of the capabilities that we have in CBP1, and as well, I'm going to speak a little bit about one of the programs that we have. It's kind of unique to a specific set of stakeholders. That's, again, one of the challenges of our mission, is that we are interacting with so many different types of stakeholders and over, you know, different kind of processes. Our Office of Trade is really kind of the lead on how all of that kind of manifesting and the information that you were talking about that comes from importers gets into our systems. But we do work with them very closely on how we can, you know, help that experience as well. One of the other areas that we're focusing on with our high impact service provider is our vessel entrance and clearance system. And this is, again, a kind of niche area where you have every vessel that comes in has to pay, you know, user fees and duties and various types of things on the entrance of the vessel itself, getting all of the cargo manifesting information in. The original process for doing this requires huge stacks of paper. Sometimes, if people remember what phone books were, they were the size of phone books, you know, for all of the manifesting, all of the paperwork that had to be submitted. So getting this into an electronic format has been a huge impact on being able to kind of intake that information. And in order to present all of this to us, there was this process where we had to sign off, stamp, do all of these things with this paperwork. So it also required vessels to hire and shipping companies to hire people to kind of take paperwork back and forth, and or we had to go out to vessels in order to process all this paperwork. So time savings alone, just in dealing with traffic and getting out to vessels to kind of do this, is a huge savings both for CBP as well as the public. So that's another area that we're, you know, working on very diligently to try to get executed as quick as possible, because that's going to be a huge savings across the board in both industry as well as to CBP.
Right. So the goal there would be to convert that paper into digital data rather than paper.
Yes. And to be able to kind of process that, make the payments, do everything electronically instead of doing all of the manual transactions that go along with it now.
And in a funny kind of way, that level of customer experience, that sea change, makes things a lot more efficient for the agency itself and not just those that are served via the agency.
Yes.
And when thinking about these things, again, you're not the technical person on this. You're not the CIO, but what kind of collaboration do you have with the technical people so that you know in envisioning a new program or an update to a program of what's possible?
We work very closely with OIT. We have a great partnership with them. And ultimately, anything that's looking at operational impacts, they look to us to kind of provide requirements for, not the technical requirements, but for how this is going to impact the operation. It's been a great, you know, experience working with them with these programs. They're part of our solutioning process. And one of the things, you know, that we found was a best practice is, again, as we're looking to do solutioning and come up with what it is we're trying to solve, we've worked very closely on doing working groups that include industry, that include every kind of all the things that we've mentioned earlier, our OIT partners, you know, our privacy partners, our attorneys, everybody who, you know, is going to help guide what that best solution is, because we're always, you know, going to have this, you know, in a perfect world, this is how we would like to see it. But we know we have all of these things that are going to, you know, come into play. So how can we get this done in the most efficient way possible and still meet those overall needs of what it is we're trying to do with the capability that we're developing?
And finally, there is the issue of metrics, because customer experience is a nice word and program improvement, mission improvement are great words. You're in the program evaluation business. How do you go about developing metrics for knowing that the mission is improved, the throughput is improved? That must be a sort of important sub-discipline all by itself.
It is. We do actually have a group that specializes in that. You know, we have a operational analysis group and a group of simulation modeling and operational modeling experts that kind of make sure that as we're doing these capabilities, we'll actually evaluate that. We know what current throughput is. We're constantly monitoring things like wait times, you know, and processing times. So they're able to actually take that information. And again, I had mentioned earlier, we sort of do studies on it. We're going to look at it and go, what, you know, as we reduce the steps in this process, we look at mapping that out and going, what is that going to eliminate? What is the time savings that's going to apply? And we try to, again, work with the public to say, what's that savings going to be for them as well? So with the I-94 capability that we were looking to develop in CBP1, and this is one of our high impact service provider areas, that capability actually took this process of people at the land borders having to apply for a permit, essentially, you know, an I-94 permit to show their admission time into the United States. We had a kind of web-based version of being able to apply in advance. And when we looked at it and decided to modernize it and put it into a mobile application, we saw huge results that we actually weren't expecting. So it allows the person to take, you know, their information, capture all of it, and do that payment in advance and submit it all before they show up at the land border, which means they don't then have to get referred to our secondary areas for a manual processing development, you know, payment, you know, stamping of documents to give them. The time savings for traveler, we quantified that, and the time savings as well as the for the officers, which was essentially like a 2 minute per transaction. But for the travelers themselves, it was a wait in line for, you know, anywhere from half an hour to an hour getting queued up into a second area. You know, during COVID, sure, in particular, you don't want people bunching together. So there was a lot of good benefits, and we took all of that into consideration. And we have seen that increase of the prior website only utilized maybe like of all the people that needed I-94 is about 3%. And since then we've released the app, we're up to over 30% using the app. So we're hoping to grow that and continue that.
And finally, people can't see this, but I can see on our Zoom call that you have two stars on your shoulders. You're pretty high up there in the ranks. Do you ever get out to the airports, to the ports of entry of ships and so forth, and just kind of take a look at what's going on and get a sense of what matters here?
I do. And, you know, I've been at headquarters for approximately 7 years, you know, and but prior to coming to headquarters, I was actually in the field for 17 years. So I'm a very big advocate of ensuring that everybody on my team, as they're working to develop new capabilities, is out there and understanding what it is that our operators are dealing with. We do have about 28,000 or so frontline employees, and we want to make sure that we're representing them well and that we understand the operations. One of the things in going out to all of our ports of entry is that, you know, we find that every single one is unique. So where we can try to do, you know, enterprise solutions, we're always going to be looking at that. But there is this need to work, again, so closely with the field and our stakeholders, because all of the operations out there have their own unique nuances that are influenced by infrastructure and the demographics that they see, and even the operation itself and how that's situated. So we do have to be very aware of that as we develop new applications and new, you know, capabilities.
And I want to go back to your title for a moment, Executive Director for Planning, Program Analysis, and Evaluation. How do those words apply in the customer experience area? I imagine, well, you tell me.
Yeah, it's a very lengthy title. It encompasses a lot. You know, what our directorate does is look at how our operations and our programs are doing, and that's where that evaluation piece comes in. We're looking at doing the analysis of operations. We look at what those impacts are, and we're looking at programs to see that they're meeting operational needs. All of that goes into how we develop strategies and identify requirements for future needs as well. So, you know, we had a lot of best practices in place just by nature of the work that we do and that data that we capture. You know, we are taking care of all of the travelers, all of the cargo, all of the conveyances that are crossing a border into the United States and out of the United States. And what we had done as a best practice was sort of mapped the business processes that we had for how we process all of this information for volumes, you know, as we're looking at enforcement actions. It helps us kind of quantify what our resource needs are across all of our ports of entry. And it allows us to look at those impacts of where we can get time savings by applying technologies internally. Utilizing those best practices, again, we looked at that with the public as well. And as we develop new technologies or new ways of doing things, we're trying to quantify how it's impacting these people as well. So using that same methodology, we work with the stakeholders or the people that will users, you know, to try to get this information and see like what we're actually saving them in transactions dealing with us, as well as their own time, you know, because if they're using, say, the application, they enter their personal information once, it's there. So any use case that they then have with CBP, they have that information stored and they can just apply it without having to retype all of it themselves.
Jody Harden, Executive Director for Planning, Program Analysis, and Evaluation at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Genesis on Federal News Network.
Put your citizens at the center of government services with Genesis, the global provider of modern customer and employee experience solutions. With Genesis technology, government agencies at all levels deliver citizen-centric support that ensures constituents are remembered, heard, and understood every time they connect with you. Deliver on the promise of a digital government with Genesis. To learn more, including FedRAMP solutions, visit genesys.com/government. That's GENESYS.com/government.